This is Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO on VOCM.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Money with Nancy Snedden. I am Nancy Snedden. Thanks so much for tuning in today. On today's show, the affordability crisis facing Canadians continues to leave many struggling financially, and with many falling behind on their monthly bill payments. That's among the key findings of the latest Equifax Canada Consumer Credit Trends report. So joining me now to discuss the report in detail, and more importantly, offer some advice on how you can turn this around, is Rebecca Oakes. She's the Vice President of Advanced Analytics at Equifax Canada. Rebecca, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So it's always great to have you on the show, and I love, you know, looking through these reports and seeing the trends, you know, that and the impact, I guess, that the current economy is having on Canadians. But before we jump into the report, can you maybe share with our listeners a little bit more about Equifax Canada and the role you play there?
Sure, absolutely. So Equifax is a credit reference agency. So what that means is every time you go out and you utilize credit, your lender typically will report information about your credit usage, your credit behavior to a credit reference agency. And here in Canada, there are two. Equifax is one of those. And basically, my role is to look at what's happening out in the credit industry. So we will take the data that comes to us and we analyze it, and we kind of look at trends, look at kind of what's happening at a consumer level, look what's happening maybe, you know, by age groups, by geographies. And we kind of use that information to provide back out to the market, you know, to kind of talk about what's happening out in the industry. The other role, of course, that we do play and my team's involved with is around credit scores and kind of development of new credit scores and kind of working with lenders as to optimizing those for the industry as well. So a few things that we do.
That's great. And, you know, when you were last on the show, the findings at that time were concerning. But this time around, some are calling the report results actually alarming. So Canadians are really struggling financially. No surprise. We've been talking about that for some time now. And many are financially strained. And as a result, delinquencies are continuing to rise, which is concerning for me for sure. And it's not just non-mortgage debt where people are struggling. We're starting to see a rise in homeowners missing mortgage payments. So let's focus on that first. Missed mortgage payments and the struggle that, you know, many homeowners are currently facing. So if we look at mortgage delinquency rates over the last 12 months, we saw 52.3% increase. And Ontario and BC have been particularly affected. So the mortgage delinquency rate soaring by 135.2% and 62.2% respectively, surpassing pre-pandemic levels. So for some, this may not come as a surprise. We know that homeowners in these provinces can carry some of the biggest mortgages in the country. But here in Atlantic Canada, particularly here in Newfoundland, mortgage loan amounts tend to be lower. So homeowners here appear to be doing better. However, mortgage delinquency rates are rising, albeit at a slower pace. So Rebecca, how concerning is this?
I mean, when we look at Ontario and BC, as you mentioned, that's where we're really starting to see, I guess, the tipping point back into, you know, before COVID happened, before the pandemic, where, you know, a lot of these numbers went to super low levels, which was amazing. You know, we've seen them now tip back over again. Now, there is a little bit of good news in there, in that mortgage rates typically tend to be quite low in those provinces. You know, we're talking kind of 0.1, 0.2%, which doesn't sound a great deal in terms of percentage, but at the same time, these are still consumers. This is still, you know, your home, and these are individuals who are under a lot of financial stress. So we are, I guess, the most concerned about those regions because it has passed that pre-pandemic point and it's still going up. And I know last time I was on, we talked about, we expected that to happen. We expected interest rates to start, you know, gaining momentum as renewals, you know, happened and those payment amounts started to go up. And we've seen that, and we've seen that tipping point in those provinces. Now, as you mentioned, Newfoundland tends to have maybe half the mortgage amount of, say, Ontario or BC. So the impact isn't going to be as great. We are seeing it starting to creep up a little bit, but it's still well below pre-pandemic levels. So the challenge right now is it's not even. There are some individuals, some geographies really struggling and really finding it quite difficult as their mortgages are renewing, as they're seeing payments go up, combined with high cost of living. And there are other regions where, on the mortgage side at least, it's not as bad in terms of movement that we're seeing.
And we know, of course, as well, that there's millions of mortgages that are coming due, right, in the coming months. They're up for renewal. Yeah. And post-renewal, monthly mortgage payments have increased $457 on average, with an even higher spike observed in Ontario and BC, where the increases exceeded $680. And even at that $457, like, that is a large increase for many households that were already living paycheck to paycheck, right? I mean, for years now, we've talked about anywhere between 50 and 60% of Canadians at any given time are living paycheck to paycheck, and an expenditure of $200 or more could actually impact them. So to see mortgages increasing by $457 on average, to me, that's really concerning. And we've all seen those new reports of some mortgage holders paying upwards of $1,000 plus more a month, depending on the size of their mortgage. So many were hoping we would start seeing interest rates decrease, but Bank of Canada Governor Tiff Micklem was clear that the last rate announcement, it's too soon to start talking about rate cuts. So economists are predicting we won't see a rate reduction until at least June. And the Bank of Canada has been clear that the days of low interest rates, like we saw, are over. So I think what they're saying is that even if we start to see interest rates go down, they're not going to go down to where they were, you know, a couple of years ago, right? We may see a decrease from where we are now at 5%, but it's going to, I think, come down slowly. So those higher rates are still going to be an issue, I think. So Rebecca, based on this, do you foresee mortgage delinquencies are going to continue to rise?
Yeah, I think unfortunately we will. You know, as you mentioned, you know, those payment amounts going up on average $457, and that is an average. And, you know, there are extremes on both sides of that, particularly for maybe younger consumers, where if you're a first-time home buyer, your mortgage tends to be higher, because to get your, you know, your foot on the housing ladder, you obviously need to, you know, kind of do what you can, and those mortgage amounts do tend to be a little bit more. So we definitely expect to see it continue to rise. And I think one of the interesting things is, you know, this year, if you think the most common type of mortgage is a five-year term, be that variable or fixed, typically fixed. So we're looking at those mortgages that were originated in 2019 but are coming up for renewal primarily right now. Now, when you go back to what interest rates were doing, those loans on average were originated maybe around 3.5% and interest rate, and right now, you know, we might be renewing at say 5.5%. But next year, it's going to be the 2020 originations coming through, and they were opened 1% lower. So the average was around 2.5% because we had those super low rates during the pandemic, and for some individuals, even lower still. So to your point, even if they start to bring interest rates down, it's likely to be gradual and probably a little bit slow, because, you know, obviously we don't want to see inflation pick back up again. But for those mortgages that are going to renew next year, well, even if you drop a full percent, it's only the same position we're in now in terms of change in payment. So, you know, I think it's going to be a real challenge, you know, this year and, you know, into next year as well.
No, I don't disagree with you. So any advice for homeowners?
I mean, I know I always say this, you know, it is around looking at what you can do in terms of your budgeting. Look, you know, don't hide away from it. You know, it's sometimes difficult to kind of look at what's going to come and look at your finances and realize actually this is going to be a challenging period. But there's always budgeting adjustments you can make. Being prepared is really the answer. There are lots and lots of organizations out there that can support and that can help and that can offer advice in terms of if you don't know where to start with your budgeting, that can certainly help. You know, on the mortgage side, of course, there are options. There's kind of trade-offs you have to make there. If you extend your terms, get your payment down, where you're more than you're ultimately extending your mortgage out, you'll pay more interest over time, but it might help you in the short term. So, you know, it's really about looking at your own individual circumstances and just figuring out a route forward that's best for you.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I mean, there's tips and tricks that you can use, to your point, like some of the things you just mentioned. But I think everyone needs to look at their individual situation, because no two situations are different, right? And I say that to my clients all the time. If they talk about, you know, their friend or their colleague or their neighbor or their family and like the things that they had done or what they were able to get. And, you know, like I said, no two people have the exact same situation. So it's really about, you know, looking at your individual situation, looking at your individual budget, you know, the unsecured debt that you're carrying, even maybe some secured assets that you may need to consider you can continue to afford them, like if you have things like recreational equipment and things like that, right? So it's about looking at your individual situation. But there's no doubt that as people try to keep up, Rebecca, they're leaning more on credit to get by. Total consumer debt is now at $2.4 trillion. This, of course, does include mortgage debt. But non-mortgage debt is also increasing and fueled by credit card debt. Credit card debt rose by $15.9 billion last year, and now sits at $116.2 billion. So I'm not sure this is good news, but before we get into the specifics regarding balances and missed payments, we are going to take a break. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Saturday morning, join us for the Irish Newfoundland Show. Send your request to IrishNL at VOCM.com or submit them online at VOCM.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money here on VOCM. I'm your host, Nancy Sneddon, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. I'm joined today by Rebecca Oakes. She's the Vice President of Advanced Analytics at Equifax Canada. And we're talking about Equifax Canada's latest consumer trends report. And Rebecca, the trends being reported really are concerning and could signal, I think, what's to come. So let's get into the numbers a little bit. So nationally, the average non-mortgage debt sits at just over $21,000, so $21,296. And here in Newfoundland and Labrador, it's higher at $23,930. That's an increase of 4% from where it was last year. And in fact, the biggest percentage increase of all provinces. So why do you think that is?
You know, I think it really is just an indication of what's happening around the need to kind of use credit to help some consumers get by. You know, we're seeing credit card balances starting to rise. Some of that's linked a little bit to inflation, but it's also linked a little bit to payment behavior, and consumers are still spending but paying less off their balances, and that's helping to rise those credit card balances up a little bit. We are seeing a little bit of an uptick as well on things like unsecured lines of credit. We're seeing those numbers go up slightly. And auto loans, you know, or the auto industry has been quite slow. Obviously, vehicle prices have been really high during the pandemic, and now we've got high interest rates, so it's been quite challenging to afford a new vehicle. But we're starting to see prices come down a little bit, and so some consumers are finding, you know, I do need a new vehicle now, and so they're having to go out and, you know, spend a little bit more. So I think all of those things are contributing to the average in Newfoundland.
Yeah, I think you're right. I hear from people all the time, they can't believe the interest rates on vehicles now from what they were even a year ago, or, you know, a year and a half ago. And it does impact that people need to get around. It's like, I think you're right about that being a factor in Newfoundland, because although we do have public transit, it's not at the same level of public transit as some other centers in the country. So people really do rely on vehicles to get around, right, to get them to work and those kinds of things. So it isn't something that's necessarily a nice to have, right? It's a need to have when you look at the province of Newfoundland. And I think go ahead, Rebecca.
No, I was going to say, the other thing we're seeing is as those individuals are needing to get a new vehicle and taking out an auto loan, they're taking out longer and longer loans. So some of them are up to 84 months, whereas, you know, a few years ago, it might have been more 60 months, 72 month terms. So consumers are having to pay more interest. Not only are they higher interest, that they kind of have taken out longer loans, which means more interest as well. So, you know, that's difficult for a consumer. You know, if you think about the length of time you have a vehicle for, 84 months is quite a long time to have a loan on it.
It is. And most people then look to get out of that vehicle and into another vehicle before a 7-year term is up. So then they're actually rolling over, right, the loan on the old vehicle into their new vehicle. So they're behind before they even drive the vehicle off the lot, which is not something I ever recommend, but I know happens quite frequently, and I see it in my practice all the time.
Yeah.
I think something else that's really interesting, when you look at the varying age demographics, it's millennials and Gen Xers who are carrying the highest levels of non-mortgage debt. And they also experience the biggest increase in non-mortgage debt compared to other age demographics. So if we look at some of the numbers here, so 18 to 25, average non-mortgage debt is just over $8,000, which to me, for that age group, considering, you know, you're looking at, that's people who are just probably getting into credit, right? They're just becoming of age where they can actually access credit. So to be already carrying that level of debt to me is a little concerning. 26 to 35, just over $17,300. 36 to 45, about $26,500. 46 to 55, $33,327. 56 to 65, $27,209. And over 65, just over $14,000, which again, those are people in retirement, you know, fixed income. That's not an insignificant amount of debt for them.
No, absolutely.
And so, Rebecca, the older millennials and Gen Xers who are also struggling the most to keep up with monthly debt payments, we're seeing the biggest increase in delinquencies among this age group. So why do you feel this is?
You know, I think some of it is really going to be when you think about that kind of 36 to 55 age range, maybe a little bit higher, you tend to be carrying mortgage debt. And so we are seeing some of the biggest movements and mispayments on consumers with the mortgage, again, linked to what we were talking about in the first segment around, you know, interest rate renewals. So mortgage renewals and the interest rates being higher in payment amounts. So I think some of that really is going to be linked to what's happening with the mortgage. Again, provincially, it's more in certain areas than others. So again, Ontario and BC, we are definitely seeing that. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind is that age range, you tend to carry, be the most credit active. So if you own your own home, maybe you've got a home equity line of credit, or maybe you've got, you know, an auto loan. So I think it's just a combination of, you know, you tend to be very credit active. And actually, this is the point where, you know, you're likely to kind of not be able to, if you do have a mortgage, you probably can't extend your term out that long because you're going to start going into retirement age. So when your payments go up, you're almost to a degree stuck with them because you can't necessarily extend the term, your amortization term out fully. So I think that's probably what's happening and what's contributing to those delinquency rates going up.
Yeah, and certainly when you look at the age group 36 to 55, and you know, they're broken down 36 to 45, 46 to 55, but if we combine them, there's not that much difference. They're at about 35%, right, increase in delinquencies. And I would say that doesn't necessarily surprise me, largely due to a lot of the comments that you just made, but also because I see that is the group where we see the highest rise in insolvencies, right? Like, it's always been for years now, we've seen, like, since the data came out, I think maybe in 2019 from the superintendent's office, the sort of median age range for insolvency is about 47. So it fits right into that sort of medium age for where we're seeing the highest delinquency rates or highest increase in delinquency rates as well. And the rise in delinquencies is something we're seeing across the country. The biggest jumps are in Ontario, Quebec, and BC, all exceeding 30%. However, right across the country, the rise in delinquencies year over year are in the double digits. So here in Newfoundland and Labrador, we're at 15.25%. So as you look down through these statistics, Rebecca, how concerned are you?
You know, I mean, as soon as we start to see mispayments rising, we obviously do get concerned. Now, the good news to a degree on some of it is there are certain regions, certain products where those levels are below pre-pandemic. And we talk about that as though that's okay. So, you know, as long as we're lower than pre-pandemic, you know, of course, that isn't necessarily still a good thing because these still are individuals that are missing payments, experiencing that financial stress, because it is very stressful when you are unable to, you know, to make payments on your credit commitments. You know, geographically, regionally, you mentioned some there. I mean, even Newfoundland, you know, that's up 15%, which is, you know, lower than the average. But then typically delinquency levels tend to be a little bit higher than the average in Newfoundland. So, you know, the increase might not be as great percentage wise, but, you know, you're starting from a slightly higher point. So it really is concerning. Again, it's something that's been happening gradually, and we still think it's going to be continuing gradually. It's very different to other periods of macroeconomic challenge where, you know, you can go to the banking crisis and things plummeted overnight. It's not like that. And so that's difficult for the bank account. It's difficult for, you know, some of the lenders as well, because it's kind of, you're seeing it gradually increasing, and it's like, at what point is that going to stop, or is it going to carry on? So it's difficult to, you know, really foresee what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. And that's a great point that although the percentage increase in delinquencies is a little lower in Newfoundland, the number of delinquencies is actually higher than many other parts of Canada. So important for people listening to understand that and make that distinction for sure. I think as Canadians continue to struggle with affordability due to the rise in cost of living and, of course, prolonged period of high interest rates, do you foresee delinquencies are going to continue to rise? I know you said, like, it's hard to sort of foresee what's coming, but, you know, what does your gut tell you based on the data that you're seeing? And knowing, I guess, what we know about interest rates.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I think that's really going to be key. You know, when we look at inflation, and inflation is such a tricky number because we all talk about year on year, but when you go back compared to 2 years ago, even if it's coming down now, it's still really high compared to where it was, you know, where prices were a couple of years ago. You know, inflation is coming down, which is the good news. And the interesting thing is, if you actually take out things like mortgage interest from inflation, we're actually back at 2%. Level. So, you know, that's going to help some consumers. You know, you should be starting to see a little bit that those price rises are at least slowing down. We're not seeing the big jumps. You know, when you used to go to the grocery store and I was shocked week on week just how much things have gone up. So that will help some consumers a little bit. But of course, you know, prices are still very high. Incomes in some areas haven't kept up with those prices. So, you know, I think across the board, we're still going to feel some of the impacts of those high cost of living, and missed payments are likely still going to continue to go up because of that. And on the mortgage side, while interest rates stay high, they will continue to increase because there are individuals that simply can't afford those payments. So I think it's going to continue to go up across the board, at least for the short term, but maybe the inflation come down a little bit might help some, but there still are going to be pockets of individuals really struggling.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like I mentioned, we're seeing insolvency rates go up as well, right, in January. That's the latest number that's out from the Superintendent of Bankruptcy. The average increase in insolvency is 23.5%. If you look at Newfoundland, overall insolvencies were up about 21%, but consumer proposals were up almost 35% year over year, January to January. So, I mean, I see that, right? We are booking consultations for people left, right, and center at BDO, trying to help as many people as we possibly can. The need is great. And as difficult as it is to see and hear the results of the Consumer Trends Report, I think it's important to know that there are things that you can be doing to safeguard your financial well-being. So Rebecca has some advice for you on that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Every Saturday is perfect for a night at the cabin. The Cabin Party with Brian O'Connell. Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. on VOCM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money with Nancy Sneddon. I am Nancy Sneddon, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada, right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guest today is Rebecca Oakes. She's the Vice President of Advanced Analytics at Equifax Canada. And we've been talking about Equifax Canada's latest Market Pulse and Consumer Credit Trends and Insights report. And like so many surveys, it shows many Canadians, including those here in Newfoundland and Labrador, are struggling with affordability. There's no doubt that these continue to be uncertain economic times, but it's important to know, I think, that there are steps that you can take to help you cope financially. And that's going to be the focus of the remainder of the show. So, Rebecca, to get started on that, what advice can you share with listeners when it comes to managing their finances, particularly their debt during these uncertain times?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would suggest is if you don't have one, maybe think about getting a financial advisor. You know, they can help you to prioritize your payments, help you establish a budget. You know, and they also can do lots of other great things like tax advice and investment advice. You know, although I think investment right now for many isn't even an option. So I would definitely suggest that's a good place to start with kind of getting some help if you aren't sure where to begin. I mean, there are some very tactical things you can do yourself, you know, writing down everything that you need to pay, looking at your income. You know, that's really the basis of building out a budget. You know, when you think about credit as well, you know, there are different credit options that are out there. So if you do have debts, sometimes, and I say sometimes because, again, each individual circumstance is different and you need to look at your own individual circumstances, but sometimes you can consolidate debt to kind of help with getting your finances or your credit payments into something that's affordable affordable at a monthly basis. Now, there's always a trade-off when you do that. So there are options out there. But yeah, a financial advisor, if you don't know where to start, you know, there are, again, free organizations out there that can help. That would be where I would say the first step would be.
Yeah, I think it's so important. Sometimes people think about, you know, financial advisors and, you know, they think about it more like on the investment side of things, right? And, you know, I don't really have enough money to get a financial advisor to help. But you're right, they can actually really help you figure out, you know, what can you be doing differently in your budget to pay down your debt faster, or to be able to increase the amount of savings that that you have, and like reallocating things. So it is a really great place to start. I think another important aspect is, you know, recognizing some of the warning signs, right, that your debt may be becoming unmanageable and that you may need to reach out and get some help with regards to that. So any advice to listeners with regards to the, like, looking out for those warning signs, Rebecca?
Yeah, I mean, credit card is the easiest one for us to get a little bit out of control. I typically, if you're going out and purchasing a new car, you get an auto loan, there's a lot of consideration that most individuals will make before they kind of go and do that. Whereas on your credit card, you know, it's very easy to kind of tap and be gone and not think about it. I mean, there was a study done, I believe, where, you know, if you actually use cash to pay for things versus credit cards, you actually spend around 30% less, because as human beings, we don't like parting with our cash. And yet we actually don't make that connection between a piece of plastic and the money in our bank account. So, you know, maybe even something simple like switching to cash instead of a card is a good way of doing it. But, you know, warning signs would be, as you're looking at your credit card, you're seeing your balances going up, you start to make less and less payments each month. You know, maybe you're making the minimum payment only, you know, maybe you're approaching kind of your limit. Those really are early warning signs. When you think about, you know, credit scores, that they're kind of what we look out for indications that there might be some financial stress starting to creep in. So, you know, a few things there.
Yeah, I think that's so important to clarify for people that it's not about, you know, we've heard that so many people are missing payments right now, right? And delinquency is, I think we should also say, is when they're sort of 90 days behind, not just a singular payment within that 30-day cycle, right? So that's important to clarify. But I think a warning sign of financial difficulty is if you can only afford the minimum payment on your credit card, because in those circumstances, you're not actually paying down your debt, right? You're mostly paying interest, and in some cases, not even all the interest. So you're seeing your balance go up on a regular basis. And it doesn't cost anything to have a conversation, right? So some people think, well, I'm not going to reach out for help because I don't know that I want to actually file a consumer proposal, or I don't think I need to file bankruptcy. But just having a conversation to find out what the best option is to deal with your debt is step one, right? And it doesn't always lead to those things. Maybe the best option, but just getting help to understand how you can, you know, effectively manage your debt is really, really important. And I think managing paying down debt also helps free up funds that's going to help you better manage your monthly payments, which of course is also going to help you maintain an overall positive credit score. So Rebecca, I want to talk about credit scores now, because if there was ever time to safeguard your credit rating or score, it may well be now. So can you share with listeners how your score is determined and why it is important to maintain a positive score?
Yeah, I mean, a credit score is really there to help lenders understand the likelihood that a individual is going to pay them back if they lend them money. That's basically what they're kind of built to do. They're designed to do it, and it's based on the data on your credit file. So, you know, it's looking at kind of how you have been paying down your debt, how you use your debt, what types of debt you have, how much debt you have, and it kind of combines all that using maths. Effectively, it's a statistical algorithm that just kind of predicts a probability of you missing payments. So, you know, the best way to help your credit score is to make regular payments and to keep making your payments. Big things, obviously, that impact your score are going to be things like missing a payment. Now, missing one payment is not necessarily the end of the world. It will hurt your credit score in the short term, but actually you can recover from that relatively easily. The challenge with credit scores, and you know, when you end up in a situation where your score is quite low, that tends to be there's been some severe level of financial stress. So a lot of missed payments, maybe there is insolvencies. So kind of getting on top of your debt usage and your ability to pay is so important, because if you have a good credit score, it does open the door for you in terms of getting credit in the future, you know, maybe getting the better rates as well. You know, the higher your score, typically if you're seen as lower risk, you will be offered a lower interest rate because there's less risk for the lender. So yeah, there's real advantages to having a good credit score. And you know, it is only one thing a lender takes into consideration, but you know, it, you know, if you just keep making payments and kind of use your credit responsibly, it's not that hard to get a good score. So definitely worthwhile doing.
No, absolutely. And to your point, it does impact the interest rate that you're able to get when you are, you know, going to renew your mortgage and things like that, which are, you know, the largest cost for many people, right, when it comes to their monthly budget. Can you maybe explain a little bit for our listeners the various scores and ratings and what they mean or say about the person when it comes to managing their debt? And I guess what factors are taken into consideration when it comes to determining their credit score? You mentioned like making payments affects your credit score, but there's other things too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the first thing I would say is there is not one credit score out in the marketplace. So I think that's really important, because I think a lot of consumers sometimes get a bit confused where maybe they see, you know, maybe they're looking at our portal and they can get access to their credit score, and they see it as slightly different to, you know, a TransUnion report or something like that. There are different scores, and different lenders will use different scores. Now, they all do very similar things, but the kind of the component parts might vary a little bit. And that's where you get variation in the scores. But typically a score is 300 to 900, 300 being seen as high risk and 900 being seen as very, very low risk. So you're trying to get your score as high as possible. So, you know, we take into account things like the total balance of your credit, your payment history. We take into account how long you've been using credit for. You know, if you're brand new to using credit, you might be slightly higher risk than someone that's been using it for a long time and been paying well over that period of time. We look at the, you know, the number of types of, you know, or types of accounts or trades or products that you have. You know, things like credit card utilization is quite important. So again, if you have a $1,000 limit and you are at $999 versus if you're at $10, well, you're going to be seen as slightly higher risk if you are using all of your limits. So try and keep your credit card utilization, that's balance divided by limits, low. So they're all the kind of things that go into it. But again, you do get variations depending on what score your lender is using. But again, they're kind of the typical things that we would look at.
So Rebecca, you know, we've talked about ranges, right? We've got like from poor to excellent. So it goes poor, fair, good, very good, and excellent. And if you look at the excellent range, it's 800 to 900. So, you know, I've heard from some listeners that, you know, when they're looking to get a mortgage, their rate is impacted by where they sit within that range. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a funny one, because I've heard sometimes people say, well, once you've got a good score, it doesn't matter. It can matter. So yeah, I think there's two steps when you think about applying for some kind of credit. There is whether a lender is going to approve you for whatever you're applying for. So that could be a credit card, a mortgage. And typically that would be based on just, you know, they tend to have things what we call score cutoffs, where maybe it's a 600 or 620 or some point where, you know, that's what they would accept as acceptable risk for them. And then after that, there's then what are they going to offer you credit wise, be that the interest rate, it could be what credit card limits you get offered. And that can be impacted by where you sit then in the score range above that kind of approval point. So it does matter, or it can matter, you know, if you are what we call super prime. So kind of, you know, when you're talking 800 to 900, if you're right at the far end of that and getting closer to 900 versus 800, well, there might be a slightly better rate that you get on your mortgage, or it might be that your credit card limit that you're offered when you open could be, you know, a few thousand dollars higher. So it can make a difference when you're applying for credit.
Yeah, I guess as long as you're in that excellent category, you're going to get very good rates and you're likely going to get approved for the credit that you're applying for as long as your income qualifies you for that. But I guess it's important to note that, you know, you can continue to try to increase your credit report and that may get you slightly better rates in those circumstances. So thank you for talking about that for our listeners. Well, we also know that there's credit scores, but there's also your credit report. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. Please stay with us.
Nutrition, exercise, keeping the cold at bay. Whatever keeps you feeling great, the Wellness and Healthy Lifestyle Show on your VOCM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Your Money. I'm your host, Nancy Snedden, licensed insolvency trustee with BDO Canada right here in Newfoundland and Labrador. My guest today is Rebecca Oakes. She's the Vice President of Advanced Analytics at Equifax Canada. And Rebecca, before the break, you shared some really valuable advice for our listeners with regards to their credit scores, how they're calculated, the things that, you know, they should be considered, and then what they mean with regards to being applying for credit and things like that. So I want to turn to credit reports now. So how important is it for people, I guess, number one, to understand their credit report and to be regularly checking in on their credit report?
I mean, it's really important. I mean, your credit report is really a summary of your credit history. So every time you are using credit, lenders will report that information and it all will appear on your credit report. Now, you know, we have credit scores, but a lender may also look at your credit report to kind of evaluate whether or not they would like to lend you additional credit. The other thing, reason, I guess, why you might want to look at your credit report is to make sure that there's no fraudulent activity. There's nothing unusual on there. You know, if someone is stealing your identity, for example, and going out and applying for loans and credit in your name, and they're not meant to be, if you are regularly checking your credit report, it's much easier for you to go, hang on, what is that? And kind of, you know, coming to us and saying, I don't know what this transaction is. Yeah, and that can really help protect you a little bit in terms of, you know, the fraud that's out there, which unfortunately does rise as well when we have periods like we have now with financial stress and things. So yeah, really valuable to check it.
And so I think there's often a myth, and I try to dispel this myth whenever we talk about things like this on the show, in case there's other people out there who haven't heard it or still believe in it. But, you know, often people are hesitant, I think, to check their credit score or to ask for their credit report because they think it's going to negatively impact their score. But that's not the case, right?
No, absolutely not. So we have something called inquiries. An inquiry is when there is a request to access your credit report. And there are two types. There are what we call hard inquiries and soft inquiries. Hard inquiries are when you are actually applying for credit. So if you go and apply for a new credit card, that then will appear as a hard inquiry on your credit report, and that can impact your credit scores. The opposite to that is what we call a soft inquiry. And that is used, you know, if you are going on and looking at your own credit report. Sometimes lenders use it for general account maintenance if they are allowed to. And again, you know, individuals or lenders can only access the credit reports if they have your permission to do so. And those soft inquiries do not impact your credit score. So they're not taken into account. So if you just want to go look at your credit report, it will not impact your credit score.
And you mentioned earlier in the show, you know, that there's two credit reporting agencies. There's Equifax Canada. There's also TransUnion. There's also a bunch of different apps out there, right? Like I think about, you know, Borrowell and Credit Karma and like different apps that people are using to sort of look at their credit score more regularly. How important, or I guess how often is it for people to be, you know, I guess number one, using these apps or checking them, and how regularly?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, if you're trying to protect yourself against fraud, you know, I would recommend doing it once a month. Typically, that's when you would see your, you know, in those kind of apps and things, you might see it changing once a month. Lenders typically report on a monthly basis to us. You know, so I would say go on monthly. If you are trying to get your credit score up and you're trying to monitor, you know, how you're doing in achieving that, again, that could be something you want to do every month or two. You know, again, it's free. So, I would say do it as often as you can, because it, you know, it does help protect you, and it does give you the information around, you know, seeing if there's anything on there that shouldn't be there.
And I think it's always important to be aware of your credit score. Do you think it's even more important in today's environment?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. Again, like if, you know, if I look at myself, I'm coming up for my mortgage renewal this year. So I am actively monitoring my credit score right now because I know I need it to be as high as possible when I reach that renewal point. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's always good to do it, particularly right now when, you know, there are many of us that are feeling the financial pinch, and you know, maybe your credit card balances are going up, and just understanding that relationship and looking at how it impacts your credit score can be really beneficial, and give you kind of, you know, a good guidance as to what impacts and what doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice. Like, I think I think it's always important to be aware of your credit score, because then you're going to want to, you know, okay, well, what can I be doing to make changes? Am I coming up for any sort of renewals, or am I looking at accessing credit, whether it's, you know, a new car loan or whatever in the future, and how can I make the changes now that will have a positive impact later. So always important. And then to, you know, undertake the things that can improve your overall credit score in the meantime, so you are accessing the best possible rates, because it really does impact not only your monthly payment, but the total amount of the debt that you're going to end up repaying, right? Because it impacts directly the amount of interest that's added on to the cost of the asset. So, Rebecca, maybe you can tell listeners how they can obtain a copy of their credit report and look at their credit score. I know you mentioned it was free. There's no fee for that. But how do they do it?
So from an Equifax standpoint, you can do this online. So we have something called a My Equifax account, which you can go on and you can download a copy of your credit report for free. So you simply log on, you click on the credit report link, and you can download it as a PDF. Now, if you don't have that account, you can go onto our website, equifax.ca, and there is a section on there for personal credit. And there's kind of a whole wealth of education support on there, and you can go and you can register so you can get access to that. And when you log on, you know, and you see your report, you should be able to see all of your accounts, your credit cards, your mortgages. You should have some history of kind of balances that you've got on there, any missed payments, any inquiries. So that's access to your credit files from lenders or yourself, and you should be able to see all that information on there. So, you know, going on there, getting access, downloading it, checking it's accurate, checking everything on there looks correct, and that it's, you know, that all the credit that you use is on there is always a good thing to do as well. You know, if you are using something that, you know, trying to help your credit score, then, you know, checking it's on there. But yeah, it's on our website, equifax.ca, and of course there are more than one credit bureau, so there are alternatives out there as well.
And so, Rebecca, just before we jump into final thoughts, I just want to make clear for listeners, if they see something on their credit report that they question or they don't think it's accurate, they can also put in a request with Equifax to have it changed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, at Equifax, we don't change data per se. You know, we are passed the information from lenders and we put that on the credit report. So if something looks incorrect, we can certainly help look at what's going on. We can, you know, help kind of make that connection with the lender as well, and figure out, you know, how we can kind of get that corrected for you.
That's great. Well, you know, always great having you on the show. You know, I really like to see, although some of it is concerning and disheartening, I really like to see like the trends and where they are. I think it's important for people to understand that and understand some of the terms, right? Like around the delinquency and what they can be doing around their credit scores and stuff. So thanks for coming on. But if you could leave our listeners now with a final thought, what would it be?
You know, I think it really needs to be that, you know, there's definitely going to be challenge over the next 12, 24 months. You know, those interest rates are going to stay high for a period of time. If you have a mortgage that is coming up for renewal, you know, please start thinking about what those payments are going to be. Think about your options. Talk to advisors, whether that's a mortgage broker or some kind of credit counselor. Get that help so that you can make the right informed decisions about your finances and about your credit usage. If you are feeling financial stress, if you're not sure what to do, you are not alone. I think that's a really important thing for everyone to know, because sometimes we can see it as quite a stigma around getting into difficulties with debt and credit usage. There are lots of people out there in the same boat. So please reach out, get the help. And, you know, hopefully that will kind of steer you in the right course, so you're in a good financial position going forward.
Yeah, that's some great advice. And I can't agree with you more on the fact that you're not alone. Like, just the sheer number of people that are reaching out for help today, right? Like, we're, like I said, seeing people left, right, and center looking for help on how to deal with their debt. So, you know, having the conversation, there's no obligation. The consultation is absolutely free and confidential. If you're feeling like you need help or you're not sure if you need help, please reach out. And we are certainly here to help. I also want to hear from our listeners. So if you have a comment or question, or maybe a topic that you'd like us to discuss here on Your Money with Nancy Snedden, you can email me at yourmoney@bdo.ca or give us a call at 800-563-8337. Again, thanks, Rebecca, for joining us. And until next week, I am Nancy Snedden. Stay safe and be well, everyone.
If you have a question or comment, send an email to yourmoney@bdo.ca. This has been Your Money with Nancy Snedden of BDO, Licensed Insolvency Trustees on your VOCM.